So our reading is from Psalm 107 this morning. Now, it's quite a long passage, and so as God spoke to the psalmist to write this, he made sure that he used some repetition to help the people who were hearing it remember what was said. So look out for the repetition in these words in Psalm 107 as I read them, commencing with the song of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their own rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord and his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders.
A little quiz for you. I'm going to play 7 seconds of music for you. And they're 3 different theme tunes, very well-known theme tunes, and I just simply want you to name those tunes, okay? 7 seconds, here we go. Okay, and the first one was? X-Files. Second one was? Coronation Street. Third one was? Friends, you see, instantly recognisable bits of music if you've watched those programmes. Some of you are sitting there saying, I didn't recognise any of those. But they're not because they're fantastic bits of music, but because the show is a familiar one. So when the tune is heard, we think to ourselves, we remember that particular song and that theme. As soon as we hear it, it triggers that. But it's not just TV programmes that kind of have a set theme. But also, there might be occasions where individuals might have a signature tune. So, for example, if I said to you, My Way, who would you think of? Frank Sinatra. If I said to you, Bring Me Sunshine, Morecambe and Wise, they used to end every program by doing, you know, the kind of sort of sing like that. I don't know if you saw when Aretha Franklin passed away last month. When they referred to her, they showed a few sort of clips of her in the past and played songs. But the one song that always appeared on virtually all of the broadcasts was the song R-E-S-P-E-C-T, because that became a song that she changed around Otis Redding's version, which was all about the man working really hard and coming home for the woman, and the woman needs to pay some respect. She turned it all the way around and said, well, actually, a minute, I'm working very hard as well, and when the man comes back, I've been working hard, and you need to show a little bit of respect to me. And it became quite a feminist message, in a sense. And that was a definitive song, if you like, a signature song. When you thought of these people, you thought of the songs. And what we're looking at today is that we're thinking about the subject of God's signature song. A song that when we hear that being sung, we know it's talking about God. And the song we're looking at, as we've already read a little bit about it today, is a song that King David sang when he commissioned a choir to sing it when sacrifices were being made. Song when the temple was built or rebuilt, song that people sang as they advanced into battle, a song they sang when they were in captivity and longed to go back home again, a song that they, when they looked at what God had done, what God was doing, and what they hoped he would do, they sang this song: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And over the next few weeks or so, we're going to be thinking about where this song appears in different stories throughout the Bible. And we hope by doing so, we will remind ourselves that it doesn't matter what circumstances we face, the Lord is always good. So we can always give thanks to him. Even if our circumstances are not good, we can always give thanks to God because he doesn't change, even if everything around us does. And this reading from Psalm 107 that we've looked at today starts with these words, and it ends with a call to ponder anew these words. And then in between, the writer gives us four scenarios, four problems, if you like, that people were facing. A group of people who were wandering around and feeling a bit lost, people who were in some form of captivity and darkness, people in affliction, and people who were feeling very afraid, full of fear. We don't know who wrote the psalm, we don't know the context. Some suggest the writer may have been thinking about being in captivity in Egypt in Moses' day, and he brings them out. Some were thinking it's written at a time when the children of Israel were in captivity because of the Assyrians or the Babylonians, and they were brought back into their land. Some suggest the psalmist was just thinking about people they know, the psalmist knows, or maybe it's a prophetic image of what's going to happen when the Messiah comes and everyone's returning and everything is going to be great. We don't really know. And maybe that's a good thing sometimes, that it's not always clear with the context, because it means God by his Spirit can apply it to all cultures at all times. But interestingly, even though there's four different kind of scenarios and problems, they all in this psalm have a similar sequence of events. A problem is stated, then a prayer is made, then a provision is given, and then there's a call to praise God in result. So this signature song starts with these words: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, or let them tell their story. And I wonder what your story is. I'm sure there are many things that you will regularly bring to God that you want him to do, for you, maybe for others. But what has he already done up until now in your life? If we only focus on what we always want God to do for us, we can negate, in a sense, some of the things that he's done already for us. And therefore, it's a good practice to give God thanks and praise for what he has done, to speak out our story. And Paul does a little bit like that. He talks about that in Romans 10. He says, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So Paul said salvation has an inner and an outward expression, an inner believing in the heart, but also a confession of the lips. Tell your story to others about what Jesus has done. So give thanks, and whoever you are or wherever you are, this verse 3 in Psalm 107 says, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Wherever we are, all around the world, the same message is, tell out your story. Let people know. And the same is with our relationship with Jesus Christ. He's redeemed us. He's called us out from darkness into light. Through his death upon the cross, he's forgiven us of our sin. He rescues us from the clutches of the enemy. He's gathered his church into one body, and he calls the church then to let the world know of his goodness and enduring love. So these four scenarios, these four problems. The psalmist is saying, look, this is what God has done, and maybe you can identify with some of the things he's done, and you can be encouraged, therefore, that if he's done that in the past, he can do it in the present. And it may be that these four scenarios, we might recognize, well, I can identify with that. Maybe it's something the Lord has taken you through and brought you out of, or maybe it's something you're going through now. And if that's the case, then the Lord wants to remind you today that just as he helped people in the days of the psalmist, he can help today. So what were the four things? First of all, in verses 4 to 5, is a wandering. They wandered in desert wastelands, finding nowhere in the city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty. Their lives ebbed away. Second problem was those people in darkness, verse 10 to 12. Some sat in darkness, utter darkness, prisoners, suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one there to help. Two different scenarios. The first one is a group of people who are unsettled. They've got a sense of feeling lost and empty, nowhere to call home, not really having an identity. Maybe none of that's part of their own cause either. It's not due to any fault of their own. And maybe Syrian refugees could identify with that. I'm wandering around trying to find a place to live, trying to find identity. Or maybe if we move into a new culture, it's very different to our own. We feel a bit lost, a bit detached. Or maybe we might experience it if we start a new job and we're working with new people. Or maybe we begin a new school and we've got to find new friends. Or maybe even trying to find a new church to see as our spiritual home. Whatever the situation, a time of wandering, unsettledness can cause us to feel disorientated and lost. And I wonder if you identify with that experience. Or this second scenario seems to be caused by what these people had done. They'd done something wrong, and as a result, they ended up in darkness. And that phrase is quite often used today, that when people refer to difficulties in their life, they say, I was in a dark place. A sense of hopelessness, despair, feeling a heavy weight pressing down, crushing, feeling imprisoned and captive in bondage. And though this context is to do with the fact that they'd done something wrong and they ended up feeling this because the Lord had brought a judgment on them, of course, many people feel a sense of darkness for many other reasons. Some of it's caused by other people's actions towards them, and their life is in darkness and captivity. Or maybe that darkness is a result of a medical problem that brings a chemical imbalance within the mind, and so depression and darkness takes over, not because of a fault of their own, but because of medical reasons. Whatever the cause, there can be a sense of darkness, a feeling of extreme pressure and bondage and captivity. And I wonder if you identify with that experience. Two of the other scenarios here. The third one is talking about affliction in verse 17. Some became fools because of their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. So this first group here were hungry and thirsty because there wasn't any food. But this group here, there was food, but they just lost their appetite because of illness. In their context here, it was because, again, they had done something wrong. But, of course, much sickness is felt in people's lives today, not because of anything they've done wrong, but it could be because they've been in the company of other people who have sickness and they've just caught it from them. Or it could be that it's a result of genetics and therefore we've inherited something along the family line, no fault of our own. It could be that our physical or mental afflictions come because we're getting older. Just simply the process of living in a fallen world where disease is all around. Whatever the cause, we could feel affliction, a weakness of body, in a sense our life is fading away, and maybe you can identify with that experience. Or the last one mentioned in this psalm is fear. Verse 23 to 27, some went out in the sea in ships, merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up the heavens and went down to the depths. In the peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Seems that these people who were regularly used to traveling in the seas, however, still would be full of fear with certain kind of conditions. And probably all of us at some point in our life have experienced something where we could say that we feel afraid. Maybe we feel we're going through stormy waters. Maybe we've used the phrase, I feel I'm out of my depth. Or maybe I feel that I'm sinking. Maybe we could identify with that phrase, right now, I'm at my wit's end. Maybe that's something that you could identify with. So, time of wandering, time of darkness, time of affliction, time of fear. When I read that, I can't help but think that when Jesus announced what his ministry was, what he came to do, he related to some very similar things. So he said, for example, the Spirit, this is in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners, a recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus is the good shepherd who deals with the wandering sheep. Jesus came to bring people out of spiritual captivity and darkness and social prejudice. He brought healing to afflictions of body and mind. And he not only calmed literal storms, but he also brought peace that the world couldn't give, peace of God and peace with God. And the fact that Jesus is still alive means that we're still in this year of the Lord's favor. That means the blessing and the ministry of Jesus given during that period of time in history is still available today if we seek after it. And in this psalm, it moves from a problem to a prayer and a provision. In all four of these scenarios, they all do the same thing. With the wandering, they cried out to the Lord in the trouble. In the darkness, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. In the affliction, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. In the fear, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And in every one of these four scenarios, God did exactly the same thing. He delivered them. He saved them. He brought them out of their distress. So there's a pattern there, consistency. No matter what the people were experiencing, if they cried out to the Lord, if they involved him in it, he then brought deliverance from it. So for the ones who were wandering, he led them by a straight way to a city they could settle in. For those in darkness, he brought them out of darkness and broke away their chains. For those who were afflicted, he sends out his word and heals them. And for those who were in fear, he stilled the storm to a whisper. He gave them great calm and guided them to their desired haven. Fantastic image that this psalmist is given. No matter what people experience, and they're very varied, very different, God deals with them all. All the people needed to do was to connect with the God who could deal with them all. They all cried out to God, and God showed no preference against one or the other. No matter whether it was of their own doing or somebody else's, he brought release. And so he calls his readers to do something about this. He said, here's the problem, here's the prayer and provision, so now here is the praise. So verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for the unfailing love and the wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and the hungry with good things. That's how you should praise, because he's delivered the wandering. What about those who are in darkness? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. What about those who have been afflicted in different ways? They've cried out to the Lord and God delivers them. Well, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. What about the last one? If you've been released from fear and been given calm, it's the same call. Verse 31, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Sing God's signature song, says the psalmist. Give thanks to the Lord for what he's done in whatever the circumstance in your life. Give thanks for who he is and that his love endures forever. So I simply want to give us a commission today, this week, for us as a church. It may be that you right now can identify with one of those four scenarios. Maybe you feel somewhat wandering. Maybe you feel in some kind of captivity and darkness. Maybe you feel afflicted, or maybe you feel fear. Can I encourage you not to ignore it? And can I encourage you not to just simply accept it, or to try and find some self-help way, as you have been for many years, perhaps, that doesn't work, and say that's the only thing I've got to go by. Instead, can I encourage you to pray this psalm back to God? Try and sing his song, even though you may not feel particularly enthusiastic. Try and sing the song back to God, to acknowledge that in the past, God has dealt with people who are in similar situations than what we're facing now, and thank him for it. Affirm that he is a God who does not change. Thank him for it. And then acknowledge that your situation isn't good, but he always is. His love endures forever, so therefore, can you deal with my problem too, just as you dealt with those in the time of the psalmist? Or if you don't identify with any of these, or maybe you used to identify with these, but God has delivered you, then can I encourage you this week, before you start giving your list of things that you want God to do for you this week, which is still appropriate, the Lord's Prayer does give encouragement for us to ask God for things, but before he gets to that point, he says, hallow God's name. Talk about his kingdom coming. You worship and you thank God for what he's already done, whoever, who he already is. Give thanks to God for what he's already done before we give him a list of all that we want him to do because of his enduring love and mercy. And because he has done that, before we ask for more things for us, pray for those who we know might be struggling with some of these things to bring guidance, to bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring peace in their distress, so that we can be singers of God's song and delight him and be bringers of God's song as a means of blessing to others. So let's pray. Lord, this morning as we've taken communion, we've been reminded of your supreme act of love shown to us through the death of Jesus. And as we've considered your word, we've been reminded that your great love and goodness has been expressed in so many other ways throughout our lives and will continue to do so as we walk with you. And it prompts us to express our grateful thanks through our words and actions. And so, Lord, this week, may the words of our mouths, as well as the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you as our spiritual act of worship, now and always. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.